Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q3 FY25 earnings conference call of IFGL Refractories Limited, hosted by Asian Market Securities. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements do not guarantee the future performance of the company, and it may involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the management briefly concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on a touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Mayank Bhandari from Asian Market Securities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Jiko. Good evening, everyone. On behalf of Asian Market Securities, I welcome you all to the Q3 FY25 earnings conference call of IFGL Refractories Limited. We are pleased to have with us management being presented by Mr. James McIntosh, Managing Director, Mr. Arasu Shanmugam, Director and CEO of India, Mr. Amit Agarwal, CFO. We'll have the opening remarks from Mr. McIntosh, and that will be followed by questions and answers. Thank you, and over to the management.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for joining us on the IFGL Refractories Limited Q3 FY25 earnings conference call. I hope you and your family and friends are in good health. Along with me in the call, we have Director and CEO India, Arasu Shanmugam. Also, we have Mr. Amit Agarwal, our CFO, and SGA, our Investor Relations Advisors. We have uploaded the results and presentation on the stock exchanges, and I hope everyone has had a chance to go through the same. As we navigate the evolving global economic landscape, I'm excited to highlight the significant opportunities unfolding in the Indian market. Despite the high interest rate environment, the Indian economy has demonstrated remarkable resilience, reinforcing its strength and adaptability. While IFGL initially focused on exports, our strategic shift towards the domestic market demonstrates a deliberate effort to enhance our presence and capabilities in India. This realignment is driven by the country's favorable growth conditions and immense long-term potential. I have emphasized this before, but it remains a game-changing opportunity. Our Indian business recorded over 25% growth this quarter and achieved an impressive 18% growth for the first 9 months of the fiscal year. Reaffirming our commitment to strengthening our market share, this reinforces our confidence in India as a key driver of IFGL's future growth. Also, to support the strategic shifts, we've already completed several of our planned capital expenditure initiatives over the past few months. Additionally, we're excited to announce our newly formed joint venture with the Marbles Group, IFGL Marbles Refractories Limited, which was officially incorporated in December. This joint venture marks a significant milestone in our journey, enabling us to expand beyond our core business and enter high-potential sectors such as cement, glass, non-ferrous and gasification industries. By leveraging the combined expertise and synergies of both partners, this collaboration reinforces our commitment to diversification, strengthens our product portfolio, and positions us for sustained long-term growth in these evolving markets. As you all know, IFGL's markets are primarily centered around the global steel industry, and according to the World Steel Association, global steel demand is expected to decline by 0.9% in 2024. However, after three consecutive years of contraction, a broad-based recovery, excluding China, is projected in 2025, with global steel demand anticipated to rebound by 1.2%. The year 2024 has been particularly challenging for the fuel sector as the manufacturing industry continues to face significant headwinds. Factors such as declining household purchasing power, aggressive monetary tightening, and escalating geopolitical uncertainties have collectively weighed on demand. Additionally, the housing construction sector remains weak due to tight financial conditions and high costs, further dampening steel consumption. Amid these global challenges, India has emerged as the strongest driver of steel demand growth since 2021, a momentum expected to persist. As the World Steel Association, India's steel demand is forecasted to expand by 8% over 2024 and 2025, fueled by robust performance across all steel consuming sectors, particularly sustained infrastructure investment. India's continued focus on infrastructure development underscores its pivotal role in shaping the global steel market. With its strong economic fundamentals and ambitious growth agenda, the country is well positioned to remain a key engine of demand for the foreseeable future, offering significant opportunities for IFGL and the broader industry. The global refractories industry continues to exhibit a mixed outlook. While certain Asian markets are experiencing growth, others are facing challenges due to economic conditions and shifting market dynamics. With the global steel demand expected to decline, a moderate recovery in demand for the steel sector is anticipated in the second half of the fiscal year. For us at IFGL, our Q3 FY25 consolidated total income stood at 382 crores, reflecting a 3% year-on-year growth. This achievement, despite persistent global headwinds, underscoring our resilience and strategic execution. Our global subsidiaries have been navigating a challenging environment, particularly in the USA, Germany and the UK, where subdued demand has been driven by major steel plant shutdowns, economic and geopolitical uncertainties, along with elevated raw material costs. However, we are optimistic about our US subsidiary, especially with the strong policy support for Made in America and the steel industry initiatives under Mr. Trump's leadership. While our international operations have faced a bumpy ride over the past year, we have proactively focused on restructuring and optimizing operations across our overseas subsidiaries. These efforts are positioning us to capture demand efficiently as the market recovers, ensuring that we are well prepared for the next growth cycle. Looking ahead, while the global refractory industry faces near-term pressures, we remain optimistic about the long-term demand for high-performance refractory solutions. Our focus will be on innovation, cost optimization, and strategic expansion to ensure that we are well positioned to capitalize on the recovery and future growth opportunities in both domestic and international markets. Now I would like to hand over to Arasu for his comment.
Thank you, Jim. Good evening, everyone. As Jim mentioned, the year ending December 2024 was a challenging transformative one for us at IFGL. It was a year marked by significant strategic decisions, capacity expansions, and organizational advancements that have set the stage for our future growth. On the manufacturing front, we made significant progress with the inauguration of Payaluna production line at our Gujarat toll manufacturing facility, which received 7,000 metric ton of alumina product entering all major cement manufacturers in India. Commissioning our continuous casting flux plant in Visakhapatnam with fully automated facility is also completed. We also invested in capacity expansion projects across our Kandla, Vadisha and Visakhapatnam facilities, ensuring scalability and efficiency to meet growing demand. To enhance productivity and cost efficiency, we have actively integrated automation and robotics into our operations. Moreover, our Sheffield refractory's advanced technologies and product innovation are coming into our Indian operations for providing short treating solution to cement and steel customer. As part of our phase three expansion, we also launched a new magnesia carbon production line, further strengthening our product portfolio. Our new JV with Marvel will also play a role in our non-ferrous industry diversification. Despite these challenges, we have laid a strong foundation for sustainable growth through operational excellence, digital transformation, and strategic expansion. Moving to the results highlights. This quarter presented significant challenges, primarily due to economic pressure, market slowdown, and geopolitical uncertainties impacting our overseas operations. Despite these headwinds, we remain optimistic about a gradual improvement in the second half of the year. Our financial performance was impacted by sluggish demand and a weak global economic outlook. With our subsidiaries and export businesses bearing a brunt of challenges, our operations in the US, Germany, and UK faced severe pressure due to market conditions and ongoing restructuring efforts at our overseas subsidiaries, which further affected our margins. However, we remain confident in our ability to navigate these challenges and drive turnaround. With our strategic initiatives, operational improvements, and a gradual recovery in demand, we expect to return to normal performance levels in the coming period. Our focus remains on enhancing efficiency, optimizing costs, and strengthening market positioning to ensure long-term resilience and growth. Looking ahead, we remain highly confident in the strong growth trajectory of our Indian operations. Over the past 3 years, we have consistently achieved 25% growth year on year, demonstrating the resilience and potential of domestic market. This quarter, we sustained this momentum, recording an impressive 26% revenue growth in our domestic made and domestic sold business. Additionally, we are proud to have crossed for the first time 500 crore revenues in 9 months, FY25 for standalone domestic revenue. This is a testament to our strategic execution, expanding market presence and operational excellence. With a strong foundation in place, we are committed to further scaling our Indian operation through capacity expansion, product innovation, and efficiency improvement, ensuring continued growth in the years ahead. All of these initiatives, along with our efforts to diversify into developing products for the non-steel industry, we hold an optimistic outlook on the abundant opportunities in the Indian market. Looking ahead, we are committed to leveraging these initiatives to drive long-term value for our stakeholders. With this, now I hand over to Mr. Amit Agarwal, CFO, for financial performance.
Thank you, sir. Let me just give you a brief on the financials. Starting with the standalone financial highlights. Total income saw a growth of 18% year-on-year to rupees 235 crore in quarter 3 FY25. For 9 months FY25, total income stood at 740 crore, which saw an increase of 7% year-on-year. EBITDA stood at 22.2 crore for Q3 FY25 and for 9 months it was at 100 crore. EBITDA margin stood at 9.4% in Q3 FY25 and for 9 months FY25 it was 13.5%. PAT was at rupees 5 crore in quarter 3 FY25 and for 9 months FY25 it was at 40.7 crore. In Q3 FY24 and 9 months FY24, we recorded an exceptional item of 38.5 crore as a provision of doubtful debt. Our domestic business has have witnessed 18% growth on year-on-year basis, that is 518 crore, having its share of 71% from overall standalone revenue, which was 64% in 9-month FY20. Given the global landscape, India stands out as the only growing market in the steel sector. We believe this presents immense opportunity for us to expand and strengthen our presence in domestic market. Our export business declined by 15% year-on-year to 209 crore, contributing 29% to overall standalone revenue, down from 36% in 9 months FY20. This decline was primarily due to the economic slowdown in key export markets. Let me now move forward to consolidated financial highlights. Our consolidated financial highlights also include our international subsidiary. Total income grew by 3% year-on-year to ₹381 crore in quarter 3 FY25. For 9 months FY25, total income stood at ₹1218 crore, which was down by 3% year-on-year. EBITDA stood at ₹19 crore for quarter 3 FY25 and for 9 months FY25, which was at ₹109 crore. EBITDA margins stood at 5.1% in quarter 3 FY25 and for 9 months FY25, it was at 9%. There was a loss of these 2 crore in quarter 3 FY25 and for 9 months FY25, we did a profit of ₹34 crore. With respect to the liquidity position, we are at debt of 11.6 crore with a strong balance sheet. Cash and cash equivalents stood at ₹180 crore on consolidated basis as on December 24. Our annualized ROC stood at 6.5% and annualized ROE stood at 4.2%. With this, I shall now leave the floor for question and answer.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question comes from the line of Rohan Mehta from Nexus Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. I hope I'm audible.
Yes, you are.
Yes, thanks. So, sir, the first question was, any progress now on the technology transfer from Sheffield Refractories?
Yes. You see, the technology transfer, in fact, the entire team, jointly IFGL and Sheffield technical experts. We met the largest cement producer in the country on November 26, 27, visited two of their plants. Almost they have, given the opportunity for bringing. And the technology and everything from our side also person has gone and studied. And this technology is going to be end to end, meaning material technology and application technology. The critical difference is made by the way it is applied through the latest equipment with automatic control, right? And that setup is already under manufacturing and almost, I would say, roughly 60% is complete. We are expecting that the whole setup to land in India sometime in end, April. So from May onwards, we will take up this and then implement in customers in both cement as well as steel.
Sure. Thanks for the clarification, sir. And sir, secondly, I think James briefly touched upon it in his opening remarks, but just wanted to have some more color on how do you see the, exports business evolving now and, what strategies or plans are we implementing and what initiatives are there in place to kind of, drive the exports business for IFGL.
Yeah, I mean, the subsidiary companies, as I said earlier on, I mean, we do face some challenges in the market. Our main focus, as I've said in past conference calls, has been to ready ourselves for when the market comes around. So it's largely been evolving our own individual manufacturing facilities and businesses. In America, we have a large project which is to combine both. We are currently at two locations there for our continuous casting refractories, and we're going to combine that into one building. We've already purchased that building, and we're currently outfitting the interior of the building. Coupled with the changes, as I mentioned earlier, in the focus of the new president, President Trump, he has a long-standing assistance with the steel industry in America by introducing tariffs to stop low-cost producers supplying into the American market. This we see as a positive, and we think this will give both of our American companies a leg up. Monocon International, we've had a very massive change in the organization. You know, we're really structuring the company for the future by introducing new products from the company. And this we hope, you know, over the next couple of years will result in some fairly hefty growth in that market for the company. Unfortunately, Hoffmann, you know, our foundry company based in Germany, the foundry market has been indicated by all of the refractory producers who are involved in that area, has struggled really badly over the last year. And, you know, we are affected by that. But, you know, more recently we've seen a very promising uptick in the incoming orders and interest from our customers. So we think that, you know, next year, you know, we'll start to see some positive things.
Sure, sure. So that was very helpful. And so just lastly, if I may, can you just throw some, you know, more color on the our new JV with Marvel's International Group, and, you know, how, what kind of synergies do we expect, and how will it, you know, benefit IFGL in the overall, you know, overall scheme of things?
Yeah, I'll ask Arasu just to give a wee bit more detail on that. He's obviously heavily involved in that as an Indian project.
Yes. So let me come in. See, this IFGL Marvel's JV, that I would say it is going to be a really path-breaking movement for IFGL. Why do I say so? Because, you know, our diversification into non-steel market. You know, so far historically, IFGL heavily dependent on steel, and that too a small section of steel making, because iron and steel is going to, I mean, it generally consumes 70% of the refractory, both iron and steel put together. But whereas we are in the small portion of steel making, which is at the end, value addition, you know, on tundish and then casting area and then the bottom of the ladle with slide gate. But now this JV is going to give us first ever time fired basic bricks, which is going to be highly consumable in cement plant. You know, we know in India we are producing now right now around the 460 million tons of cement. And in coming 4 years, when we touch 2029, India is going to produce 900 million tons. And that will make a basic brick consumption, the JV which is going to produce,
the consumption will be almost 150 to 160 thousand ton a year. So this plant is going to give us absolutely spreading the risk of IOCL on steel cycle to cement steady requirement. In addition to that, this will also serve us to enter into another non-ferrous area called glass making. All their, if you look at the regenerators, they are all made of basic bricks, and there we will go at the gas, you know, coal gasification. You must be hearing about, you know, big projects coming into India for coal you know, gasification. So all these areas where we were not present, it's going to be, you know, helping us. In fact, we already started, you know, selling this as our primary, you know, the technology partner, who is also the JV partner. This year, we are already selling almost close to 7,000 tons in Indian market. The prospect of this JV is going to be so bright because in a way, it's going to be backward integration, meaning market is ready. Instead of production based from our partner in China, that's going to be shifted to our own plant in Gujarat. So the ramp up is going to be faster, and that's going to put IFGL as one of the top countable two or three full range refractory player. We all know that, you know, once when you have a basket of full range, then it helps us in managing, you know, internally the risk, even if one area falls and other area kicks up. So it helps in delivering a consistent performance as a company. Have I answered your question?
Yes, yes, sir. That was very helpful. So just to confirm, you said the facility is being proposed to come up, in Gujarat, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So there is no capacity, existing capacity, right? It will be a greenfield facility.
Can you come again?
So this the proposed facility in Gujarat would be a greenfield facility, right? Not a
absolutely greenfield. Absolutely greenfield, state of the art plant.
Right, right. Okay, okay. Thank you, sir. Thank you for answering all my questions. Right, I'll join back in the queue. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question comes from the line of Payal Shah from Billion Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you so much for the opportunity. I have few questions. First, like if you could help us understand the revenue growth of domestic sales between the large steel plants and mini mills, like which growth has been better? So just wanted to understand on that.
The last portion of your question is not clear. Can you repeat? What is that you said? Large steel plant?
So I just wanted to understand the revenue growth of domestic sales between the large steel plants and mini mills. So I just wanted to understand which growth has been better.
See, our growth in 9 months, we said 18, and the last quarter 25% in domestic steel. It is almost the same percentage in both mini and large steel plant. Because in mini steel plant, we are adding up new customers. And in large steel plant, we are enhancing our share of spend. Both coupled together, the rate of thing is almost you know, same on both sides. There is nothing called skewed one only in large and so no, it is consistent and both the rate applicable to both mini and large plant.
Okay, that's quite helpful. My next question is on is really a bookkeeping question. So now the employee costs have been increasing continuously for the last 8 quarters. So when can we expect some stabilization on this front?
See, you know, organization needs to be put at least a year in advance for generating. Like for example, you know, we talk about little high level, the short creating from Sheffield and then joint venture. Already we entered into, in my opening note I am given, last year, February 2024, our coal manufacturing was a plant which was under making.
Now, in just 12 months, we have already got an order of 7,000 tons and sold. That's the kind. So the organization we have put earlier in FY 2024, the cost was different. Now it is shared. So the same way, 1.5 year to 2 year, anything between, 16 to 18 months down the line, the organization which is now we have put in place right now will be delivering the numerator in coming, 16 to 18 months, which is absolutely normal for our kind of a business and incubation time.
Okay. My last question is, can you give some guidance for next year, for FY 2026, in terms of revenue, both consolidated and standalone, and margins for the same?
You see, because of already we are in the fag end of the financial year, and there are a lot of budget speech on February beginning by Nirmala Sitharaman sir for Honorable Finance Minister. There are something announced for steel, but all those things to come on ground, deliver results, it's going to be a lag of 3-4 months by which this year will be over. So as we are almost nearing end of the financial year, we do not want to change any guidance. But yes, definitely the next quarter when we speak to FY 2026 will come out.
Okay. I'll join back the queue. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
A reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question comes from the line of Sahil Rohit Sanghvi from Monarch Networth Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Am I audible?
Yeah, very much.
Yes. Thank you for the opportunity, sir. My first question is, I wanted to understand that our gross margins have also declined this quarter. So if you can throw some light on, is that the raw material cost inflation, which raw materials mainly, and I mean, if that's the reason, and then how do we work on the pass-ons also for this? How many quarters do we take for the pass-ons?
You see, if you have seen the results of our major, larger steel producer in the country, the margins reduction is in the range of 65%-78%. You would have seen that result, right? And then so that is how the orders which were finalized in the month of June, July, everything, in our contract prices, there was a reduction of 6% to 9% depending upon various contracts. That is on one side pressure. Another side pressure is the raw material, particularly aluminum index. If you see LME index from 320-30, it went up to 650-660. Now it has, I mean, it's almost like at the 600 time. So, and we are also now discussing with customers on this. I think maybe, as I was mentioning to the previous question, we are planning and we are confident to reverse the situation in the first quarter, end of first quarter, FY 2026, and there onwards. And there are plans. So that is also, sir, another quarter also is going to be, the challenges are going to be same, but we have plans to revive it by end of first quarter.
So, sir, which raw materials are these? I mean, is it alumina, magnesium?
Primarily alumina, Al2O3, which is also having direct factorization with aluminum, which is LME announced and used as a reference price.
And how much is this? Has this doubled YOY? How is it?
It is almost doubled, as I was mentioning, 320-30, went up to 650-660. And now it is on the same range plateau. Okay? And also, there are a lot of capacities of leading alumina producers in Germany and all closed down because of unbearable energy costs, which is an outcome of Russian-Ukrainian war. And so they have shut down their manufacturing facilities in part of Western Europe, and they are trying to make it up with other countries which are, and which also put pressure on logistic costs. Adding to that, even the containers and the logistic costs also have gone up.
So this is how it has resulted, and now we are expecting that, okay, so to soften a bit on ocean freight cost, but the primary, basic raw material, I mean, the alumina cost will remain, and we are expecting, some kind of a reduction, maybe 3 to 4 months down the line.
Got it, sir. And sir, I had one more question on EI Ceramics. So, while Mr. James had mentioned about the restructuring that is ongoing, I just want to understand, when do we get done with this restructuring? Does this restructuring impact our offtake? And when do we actually see EI Ceramics coming out with a full-fledged, you know, sales and good amount of margins? I mean, what would be the-
You mean back to where we were before? Yeah, I mean, just really, the work that we're doing in EI Ceramics at the moment, you know, should let us see, probably not in the... Yeah, maybe in the next quarter. In the next quarter, we might start to see some differences there in the margins. As Arasu mentioned, in the Indian market, the American market's exactly the same. The same pressures are there on raw materials and from the customers. And, I mean, certainly, our guys there are working on you know, price adjustments to take care of those. And, you know, we feel very sure that, as I said, with changes in the American government, that we will see more help to the steel industry in America, which will directly affect EI Ceramics' results. I mean, it's purely sales driven. So market comes back, then the margins will definitely be there.
And does this restructuring affect the offtake at EI Ceramics?
No, one. That's why I was saying it's not really affecting. The change in the manufacturing location will not affect the offtake of the products. Certainly not for the next 2-3 years. That will take some time. Once we're there, we will have much more room to expand. But it's not going to be taking us to higher margins or anything very quickly.
Right. And my last question would be to understand about the JV with Marvel Ceramics. So, assuming that we have some capacities commissioned by March 26, which is our goal, and then we take some 4 to 6 months of trial runs, et cetera, and we commence commercial production, how long do you foresee, will it take 2-3 years? Is the right amount of time to ramp it up to optimum utilization? And what is the exact capacity over here in kilotons, if you could give us?
You see, once when the JV plant commences in operation, we are expecting that, you know, this is the plant is of 25,000 ton a year capacity, and our ramp up will certainly start 4 months down the line, will from 40%. And there onwards, I would say that within maybe 2 years, we will reach 90%.
Got it, sir. Got it.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question comes from the line of Saket Kapoor from Kapoor and Company. Please go ahead.
Namaskar, sir. Am I on?
Namaskar. Yeah, yeah.
Yes, sir. So, sir, taking into account the Marvel capacity coming on stream by March 26, what are the volume gains or incremental volume that we will be having for this year, like for quarter four and for the next financial year? You mentioned about Vizag facility about getting on stream. So if you could give some color on the same.
See, as far as volume gain as a percentage from JV, the entire FY 26, nothing. Because the project will be there in March 26, April 27. From then onward, actually FY27, second half, only the volume comes from JV. Okay, is that clear? That is about the clear, I mean, on JV volume. Yes, the volume addition from our Visakhapatnam plant, so H2 of FY26, H2 of FY26 will give at least 6,000 ton for us, which was not there initially. So this entire 6,000 ton, which will be added in H2 of Magnesia Carbon from Vizag, will be a 100% delta.
Will be 100%? Didn't get it.
That, this is addition, volume addition.
Okay. At today's pricing, what kind of revenue will it garner to?
Let's say it is around roughly, if you take 80,000, maybe it will be around 48 crore.
Okay.
Roughly around 48 crore-50 crore. That's the addition.
Correct, sir. And sir, you did explain about the employee cost being on the higher side because of the setup of the new unit and the cost incurred. Other than that, sir, then this will be the run rate going ahead now for a quarterly basis at 70 crore on a consolidated level?
No, no. I no, can you repeat your question?
My question is, sir, our employee benefit cost has moved up to 70 crore rupees for this quarter. So what should be the run rate going ahead on a quarterly basis?
I would say that, you know, the change will not be much, because we have almost put, I think, one or two key hiring may be there, but it won't, on percentage terms, it's not going to make substantial change, but you can take that as this ±5% will remain same.
Okay. So for that, now the environment needs to improve, otherwise that is not commensurating with our revenue. I mean, on a top line of, say, 370 crore is a very high number as of now, since the market are depressed and that's the reason. So the bottom line will continue to take a hit because of this line item.
But that's temporary. If you look at the future growth and potential, what we have explained, and this is a normal preparation which any business has to do, which we are doing, and we are very, very optimistic about bringing to the, you know, percentage of employee cost to the normal, once when the ramping up is taking place. For example, you would have seen the result, you know, we have done a business of around 72 crore from Visakhapatnam in FY24, which is going to be 160 crore, more than double this year, and we are going to be more than 220 crore coming year. The ramp-up is going to be faster, and which will offset. Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah.
Hello. Last point was, sir, for the March quarter, for this quarter, which is the ensuing quarter, are we seeing any further capacity being introduced on any product profile that was not there for the first nine months in incrementally a product change or volume that we are anticipating increase? And how should we take this quarter in terms of the business environment, as there were various factors you have alluded, both for domestic and international operations, which has affected. So are those factors have taken a back seat, or are the same, are they prevailing for this quarter also?
It's going to be almost a continuation of this quarter to, I mean, third quarter to the fourth quarter also, as I was mentioning. The policy level announcement and other things to come on ground, always, first, the primary people like steel and all will take 3 months, and from there, another 2-3 months time lag for refractory consumption. So, in nutshell, Q4 is going to be slightly the extension of Q3. You can't expect anything. And internally, our capacity addition is also nothing in Q4.
Right. Okay, sir, I join the queue. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question comes from the line of Rohan Mehta from Nexus Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the follow-up. So just a clarification, you said nothing incremental in Q4. So I mean, just wanted to get a clarification on contribution from the Magnesia Bricks and Casting Flux. When do you expect that to start?
It will be from FY26 first quarter onwards.
Okay, first quarter 26. Understood. So just one more thing. I mean, are we kind of looking at any inorganic opportunities in the near future, whether domestic or overseas?
That is always open, you know, our growth, you know, plan, both through organic and inorganic. Organic, you all know that what we have done and it's all going well and it started delivering results. Inorganic is definitely on the card, but yes, I mean, maybe it is on the card till the time we find the right one.
Right. Sure enough. And so just lastly, you know, considering how global markets are kind of currently, especially, you know, Germany and even the, even Europe as a whole, are there any discussions at board level right now to kind of exit that market? I mean, any color on that front?
None whatsoever.
Right. Sure, that clarifies, sir. Thank you so much. Thank you for the answer.
Thank you.
Thanks.
A reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question comes from the line of Suraj Sonulkar from AMSEC. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. How much CapEx has been spent so far in FY25 and what is expected in full year FY25 and 26?
I think 24-25 we spent almost 160-170 crore of CapEx.
Okay, and expecting?
And not much to be done in this quarter except for new plant and JV and all that which will come in next year.
Okay. And could you please provide me a Sheffield refractory revenue in 9 months and what is the growth expectation for FY26-27?
I think individual company-wise we are not revealing the revenue thing. You can, you know, refer our segment in the consolidated results whereby you can get the result of Europe as well as other segments.
In overseas subsidy, which subsidy we are facing major issues and when we are expecting to recover this?
I think as our managing director said, that in Europe and UK, we are facing some challenges and we will, you know, as the economy recovers, that will be, you know, soon recovered.
Okay. And we are aiming for the non-ferrous business to contribute 15% of the revenue in the next 5 years. So what steps are we being taken to accelerate this transition?
No. One is that the JV plant is coming, which is predominantly for non-ferrous. And non-ferrous, our, you know, entry into non-ferrous already commenced. And this year, through our alumina product non-ferrous, that is already around the modest from zero the previous year. This year 15 crore revenue comes from non-ferrous, which is first entry. And then once when the JV plant comes, then whatever percentage you mentioned, that's going to be. So we already commenced our entry into non-ferrous through alumina product, and for basic product the JV work comments which are, we are expecting the plant will be commissioned sometime in March, April 2026.
Okay. So what is the latest update on land acquisition for the DBM bricks in Odisha and when do you expect to production to commence?
So 28th January I was there and already the work of making compound wall has been started. So almost you can say the entire boundary of 2.3 kilometer, the boundary wall work already has started. So we have already taken possession and boundary wall construction already commenced.
Okay. Lastly, on Marvel JV that we have done, so how will this contribute to our revenue and margin from FY26 onward?
No, FY26, nothing. From FY26, it will be FY27, second half.
Okay. Second half, FY26?
Yes, 27. FY27, second half.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that brings us to the end of the question and answer session. As there are no further questions from the participants, I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Okay. So, I hope, you know, we have been able to answer most of your queries. We look forward to your participation in the next call. For any queries, you may contact SGA, our investor relations advisor. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Asian Market Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your line.